And joining me right now here on the Mark Mosey Show to go lay this on the Orlando Magic playoff series with the Cleveland Cavaliers. This guy's there in Cleveland right now, does a great job covering the Magic. He's my good friend Philip Rosenreich with Orlando Magic Daily. Philip, how you doing today?
I am doing good. How are you doing, Mark?
Hey, I watched the game Saturday. Honestly, I wasn't surprised. I thought they'd get punched in the face and it would be a wake-up call to the team. What about you when you look at that performance, the loss against Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was a little bit of a wake-up call. And I think the first quarter, maybe quarter and a half, Cleveland's been building to this the entire season. Like, this whole season for the Cavs has been redemption for how bad they looked in the first round against the Knicks last year and how unprepared they looked for the first round against the Knicks last year. So I think Cleveland very much came out and said, we're going to punch first. We're going to be the aggressors. We're going to get after this Magic team that's never been here before, and we're going to feed off the home energy. And it took Orlando a little while to get themselves settled. But after that, yes, the Magic couldn't hit shots, but after that, Orlando, I felt like, very much dictated a lot of the terms of the game. And then it just came down to the same problem Orlando's had all year. They can't hit enough open shots to make teams pay for their defense or make teams pay. And that's going to be, I think, the main storyline of this series. The Magic will win the games where they hit their shots, and they will lose the games when they don't. And obviously they didn't hit their shots on Saturday, and they lost.
Being there in the building on Saturday, in that first half, did it feel like a tidal wave hit the Magic with just the energy of the crowd and the way the Cavaliers were pushing the ball?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a tidal wave. I think that it was very much kind of like a. I wouldn't call it a tidal wave. It wasn't a slow drip. It was kind of just like these quick spurts. Mm. Cleveland had that big spurt at the beginning. They made their first five threes of the game. They took a 10-point lead, but Orlando, I felt like, really hung tough. Like, Cleveland was making some tough shots and built that lead, and Orlando never really blinked and never really wavered. Like, they, as much as we want to look at the final score and look at the 83 points the Magic scored, the Magic were never completely out of the game. Now, they never got all the way back either, but after that first quarter blitz, they really played them even. And yeah, there was a big run at the end of the third quarter. So there's these like spurts where Orlando's defense, where Cleveland figured out Orlando's defense and Orlando had to readjust and find themselves again. Orlando never had that offensive spurt to kind of race ahead to. So their runs just didn't have that kind of spurt ability. And again, that's, I think, one of the differences we see in the series is Cleveland does have the ability to score a little bit. They got Donovan Mitchell. They got Darius Garland. They have some offensive weapons, and Orlando is going to be searching for theirs. And the sooner they find it, the sooner they'll get back into the series.
Okay, fourth quarter, it felt like they kind of woke up, like you're saying. What started to work where they cut it to single digits in that fourth quarter?
I think a lot of it, for the Magic at least, a lot of it was just the pace and the control. Like, they were able to turn their defense into offense. And I think that's going to be a key for both teams in this series. I think that's what Cleveland did when they got theirs first, is when you get misses, can you get out in transition and get into your offense before the other defense can get set? We expected a defensive series in this matchup. These are two of the top 10 defenses in the league this year. We expect scoring to be very, very difficult with the way these teams are able to prepare for their opponent. And so I think what we saw is Cleveland was much more effective getting into their offense sooner than Orlando was. And when Orlando made that run to cut it down to five early in the third quarter, a lot of that was because they were able to start kind of imposing their will a little bit more, get downhill a little bit more, play at a pace that they're controlling and are comfortable with, where Cleveland was kind of scrambling to find themselves again.
The guards for Orlando, did they hit any shots? All, I mean, what happened exactly?
I mean, Jalen Suggs made one, but yeah, no, at the end of the day, this has been the message for the last 2 days after game one is, at the end of the day, this team's got to hit shots. Like, the score, the way you score is you make baskets. And you hate kind of simplifying things down to the most basic act in basketball, but the Magic aren't going to win if they don't make shots, and specifically if they don't make threes. If you go to, like, NBA.com has the shot dashboard, and they track how you're shooting depending on where the closest defender is. the Magic were, and I want to make sure I get this number right, the Magic were like 5 for 25 or 5 for 23 or something like that on shots where the closest defender was more than 6 feet away. Like, they missed some open shots. And that's what Cleveland wants. Cleveland's going to bet that Orlando can't make enough shots to stay in the game, to keep themselves in the game. That's the gamble that Cleveland is making every time that they step on the floor with this Magic team. And so Orlando's got to prove them wrong. You know, Evan Mobley made those two early threes. That changed the game for the Cavs. The Magic got to make some early threes. They got to make Cleveland respect those shooters, and that's going to loosen everything up for them.
There were times, it's like the Caitlin Clark, where, you know, you just let them shoot. They're not going to hit it, right? That's what it felt like from Cleveland. It really did. And, man, they've got to step up. I think you know it. I think everyone listening knows it going into game two.
But, like, I mean, to that point, we knew that was going to be the issue. You know, Paolo Banchero is going to see three guys standing in front and standing between him and the basket until somebody else makes a shot and convinces one of those players not to stand in the paint. That's the key to the series.
We're here with Philip Rostenreich, Orlando Magic Daily. He's there in Cleveland. We're getting ready for game two tonight, 7 o'clock with the tip. You bring up Paolo. I saw the stat on SportsCenter. He tied Shaq for most points in their first ever debut. Is this right, Philip?
I didn't see that specific stat, but it would not surprise me if he at least set the Magic record for at least a playoff debut. Tracy McGrady playoff debuted with the Raptors, but for a playoff debut, it wouldn't surprise me. Like, he was... You know, I know everyone's going to turn to the 9 turnovers, and Paolo would probably too, but he played really well. Like, he did not shrink from the moment. He played a pretty solid game and really carried the team through a lot of stretches of that game.
How can he improve on the court?
He's just got to make quicker decisions. You know, I think the way you beat a defense like Cleveland is you put them in compromised positions. You make the defense make decisions and make the defense, you know, gamble and decide what they're going to give up and take what the defense gives you. Orlando has this thing, and they're a very, like, low-possession team, but they can't be a slow-paced team. They got to move quickly. They got to make Cleveland move and rotate to them. And so, to me, that's just about making quicker decisions. It's dribbling less. Paolo loves to kind of dribble the ball, and the ball gets away from him sometimes because he's a big dude, and he's going to be facing double and triple teams now, so he's playing in tighter corners. It's going to be about moving the ball quicker and making decisions quicker, making the right decisions quicker, more importantly, which is the more difficult thing to do. But if the Magic do that, they'll be able to find some pockets and find some holes to score and force Cleveland to make some adjustments and find new ways to attack them. And that's really what they have to do in this game.
Okay. How did Franz Wagner look in this game one?
He looked rough. He looked like he was trying to find his way and find the way to attack this defense. Cleveland typically likes to have Evan Mobley guard Franz Wagner instead of Paolo Banchero. And so he's got the tougher defensive assignment. He's got the tougher defender on him. And I like that early on Franz went at Evan Mobley, but, you know, Franz likes these little step through moves, and Mobley is nimble enough and big enough that Franz can't get around him as efficiently on those step-through moves like he can with smaller defenders that he saw during the regular season. So I think with Franz, it's still about being aggressive. Like everyone else, he's got to hit his shots. You know, teams are starting to play him like he's a sub-33-point shooter, which he was this year. He's got to hit his outside shots when the ball swings to him, but he's got to be aggressive and look to create contact and get to the foul line as well when he drives to the basket. He's still an incredible weapon. He's someone that wants to push the pace too a little bit more, get out and run a little bit more, get some easy baskets. That'll help him in the long run because, you know, until that fourth quarter when he found a little bit of breathing room, he was really struggling.
What's it been like since, okay, Saturday game ended around 4 o'clock, you know, something like that. Now it's Monday. What was it like yesterday and even today, you know, talking to the team, Coach Mosley, are they excited for game two? Like, what's the feeling right now?
Yeah, you know, the feeling, and this was even the case after game one, the feeling is confidence. Like, the Magic felt like they defended the way that they know they're capable of defending. If they hold Cleveland to 97 points, they're going to win that game more often than not. They lost only two games this season where they held an opponent under 100 points. So they know their formula. Yeah, and it was a 99-96 loss to the Heat, and then that game to the Knicks that they lost where they had their worst field goal percentage of the season, which they passed on Saturday, had their worst field goal percentage of the season. So the Magic are sitting there saying, look, we did what we need to do defensively. If we play with this level of defensive intensity, you know, even with the spurts that Cleveland had, we're going to be in these games. We're going to have a chance to win. Even with our worst field goal percentage, our worst shooting game of the season, we were down by five with midway through the third quarter with momentum on our side. They just got to make shots. And so I think there's this confidence that they're not going to shoot this poorly again. Now, you know, are they going to be a knockdown three-point shooting team? Probably not. That's still, I think, the major concern for the series. But there's a lot of confidence that if they can just shoot a little bit better, they're going to have a chance to steal a game on the road. And they know how good they are at the Kia Center. All they got to do is get a split. Cleveland protected their home court. That's what they're supposed to do. Orlando, at least as a team, feels confident that they can find the shots and find the shooting to get back into the series tonight.
Philip Rosenreich joining us from Cleveland. Do you get this sense that I always do after that first weekend of the playoffs? Like, people think it's March Madness. Like, oh, it's over. This team won. No, it's best of seven. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, oh, completely. Like, there is, you know, I would honestly describe the Magic as very calm. Like, and that's something I would, you know, the thing that most impressed me about the Magic on Saturday was their maturity level. You know, this is a team with only four guys who have played playoff basketball at all. They took a very heavy punch in that first yes. quarter from the Cavs, you know, giving up five for five shooting from three, getting down 10 early on the road, you know, a charged atmosphere, you know, the atmosphere in Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse was fantastic. They took a very heavy punch and they didn't blink. Now they didn't come back and win. That's ultimately what matters, but they didn't blink. And I think this team takes that as a sense of pride, saying like, look, Cleveland did what they're supposed to do. If we do what we're supposed to do on our home floor, all we got to do is get one game in Cleveland. So we lost one opportunity. So what? There's another opportunity Monday. It's a series of adjustments. It's a series of learning. It's a series of going back and trying to do the same thing over and over again. There's a lot of things that Orlando feels like it did that they're not going to do again. There's a lot of things that Cleveland did that I think Orlando feels like Cleveland's not going to do again. It's about that next game, and that's going to be the big challenge for them, obviously, but this feels like a confident team that believes that they're still very much in this series.
Is Jonathan Isaac the starter, or is that game time decision now?
It appears, or it sounds like that's going to be the plan. Like I asked Jonathan Isaac about this yesterday. I asked him, when did you know you were going to be the starter? And he said pretty much after the game against the Bucks on Sunday. Like pretty much after the regular season ended, or he knew that he was going to be starting, and that's how the Magic prepared all week. You know, we can debate whether that's the right decision, making such a big lineup change at this juncture of the season, but that's the direction the Magic are going. It's maybe the direction they've been trending in for a very long time. Like, they want that super versatile lineup. They want that defense. Isaac got a feel for what defending Jared Allen is going to be like. Hopefully he'll make some adjustments, and hopefully the defense will be a little bit better coming out of the gate.
All right, let's go to Cleveland. Mitchell is fantastic. He was. If you're Cleveland, yeah. Do you just tell Mitchell, keep doing your thing, or do you feel like the Magic are going to try to shut him down with double teams now?
You know, I think what Cleveland did, and I think they'll probably end up trying to do the same thing in tonight's game. Cleveland understood that Donovan Mitchell is probably going to get trapped pretty quickly off pick and rolls, that the Magic were going to bring some extra help. And they knew that the outlet to that was Evan Mobley. It feels like a small thing, and Mobley only had 16 points, which is about his season average. But Mobley hitting those two threes in the first quarter changed the game, because now the Magic had to change their defensive scheme. They couldn't leave Mobley open the way that they were leaving him open. And so they started switching, and that's when the Cavs were able to kind of set up Mobley or Jared Allen on the post, on the block, because now the Magic couldn't leave that guy open for three anymore. So I think the idea with Cleveland is we got to figure out first what attention they're giving Donovan Mitchell. Once they figure that out, that's when they'll figure out how to attack. They know Donovan Mitchell's going to get his numbers. And I think Orlando understands that too. I think that's why they put Jalen Suggs on Darius Garland and said, you know, let's lock Darius Garland out. You know, and Garland still had eight assists, but he scored a lot of his points toward the end of the game when Cleveland started to pull away for good. I thought Jalen Suggs played a great defensive game. I thought Gary Harris, honestly, made things difficult for Donovan Mitchell. The biggest thing for Orlando is going to be tracking guys in transition, not letting Cleveland control the pace and tempo of the game. And that's where Donovan Mitchell is going to get a lot of his points too. So they got to limit their turnovers. They got to get back in transition, force them to play that against that half-court defense. And that's going to be the key to slowing Mitchell down. But Mitchell's going to get hit. He's too good not to.
We're at Philip Rosenreich. He's there in Cleveland. Latest on the Magic, getting ready for game two tonight. All right, for defense, if you're Cleveland, Are you just going to try to beat down Paolo Banchero and make life difficult for him tonight?
Absolutely. I mean, the goal for Cleveland is Paolo Banchero needs to see three bodies in front of him at all times. The guy that's guarding him, and you know, he needs to be seeing a wall. And until Orlando makes some threes to convince them that that's not the right strategy, that's what he's going to face. Plain and simple. Cleveland knows that Orlando's not a great shooting team. Until Orlando proves they can make some outside shots, Paolo's going to see three bodies in front of him. And so it's on Paolo to be more protective of the ball, to value that ball a little bit more and trust his teammates to make some shots and loosen that paint up for him to get downhill. And same with Donovan Mitchell. The Magic have to get down the court before Cleveland sets their defense up. You can get some easy baskets in transition. You can create some mismatches that way. He's got to be a little bit better coming around pick and rolls and forcing switches on pick and rolls so he can get some favorable matchups. But, you know, Cleveland's going to put a lot of bodies at him, and Paolo's got to trust his teammates and get that assist number up to make them pay with some open shots.
All right, here's what I'm doing if I'm Orlando. I'll be Coach Mosley. They're going to give Jalen Suggs, Cole Anthony, all these guys, they're just going to give them those open threes. I just attack the rim. I go to the bread and butter, attack the rim, just constantly attack the rim and make it hard for Cleveland. But you're right. They've got to hit shots from the outside. But I'm going to go to the rim, man.
I mean, and that's what the Magic are trying to do. Everything for the Magic starts with putting pressure on the rim. And Orlando largely did that. But here's the thing. Cleveland is one of the best paint defenses in the league. Jared Allen is one of the best shot blockers in the league. Evan Mobley is an excellent individual defender and an excellent shot blocker. He had three blocks in the game on Saturday. Orlando had 36 points in the paint. They were 18 for 40 in the paint. I tell this to people all the time. I'm honestly more concerned with the Magic's poor shooting in the paint. And honestly, the biggest concern coming out of Saturday's game, the Magic shot just 19 for 30 from the foul line. They got downhill. They got to the basket. They put pressure on the rim, and then they gave away points at the free throw line. Orlando's got to make, and it all comes back to the things they can control. They can get to the line. They show that they can get to the line, and you know, I don't know if they'll get to 30 free throws again, but they're gonna force some fouls, and Cleveland wants to play physical. They will get their opportunities at the foul line. They got to take advantage of them, and that's why there's a lot of confidence in this team, because Orlando feels like they left things on the board that they can do again.
Yeah, when they got it to 9, you're like, okay, but they just ran out of time. That was positive for game 2. All right. What's it like being there in Cleveland for the playoffs? I know you've never done this before. What's it like, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, it's the playoffs. Like, you know, you're kind of locked in completely on the game. It's a great atmosphere here at Rock and Mortgage Field House. You know, it's a really nice building. I'll say that. It's a great atmosphere. They brought the energy on Saturday, but you know, again, I really think Orlando did a good job weathering that storm and not blinking in front of the pressure. And I think that's really encouraging if you're the Magic. You know, yes, the shots didn't go down, but Orlando did not seem to be fazed by the playoff atmosphere and the playoff intensity. It may have taken them a little while to get used to the physicality, but once they realized, like, oh, we can get away with this now, the Magic love to play physical, and they matched that physicality very, very quickly. And so, you know, it's chilly here. They're getting, like, one last blast of winter. It's, like, in the upper 40s, low 50s. So the weather is beautiful. I love this weather. But, yeah, it's you can feel the intensity of these games. The playoffs are a completely different animal, and you know, I think Cleveland will feel it when they come to Orlando, how different it is down there too.
Are you excited for Thursday in game 3?
Gotta get through game 2 first, but yes, I am excited to see what Kia Center is like. Orlando knows the Kia Center is gonna be ready. I think even Cleveland knows the Kia Center is gonna be ready. So all Orlando has to do is do their job, give them a series, and they'll be ready for it.
Let's end with this, and I appreciate coming on. I know you're busy with coverage there from Cleveland for Orlando Magic playoff basketball against Cavaliers. We went the last 2 weeks of the season where it's like, get home court, get a top 4 seed. Does it really make sense where all home teams won Saturday and Sunday now?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does. And look, it's what you're expected to do. And you know, honestly, I would even say what was more impressive or more interesting about the entire weekend was outside of the Sixers-Knicks game and the Thunder-Pelicans game, no game was particularly close.
No.
Like, as much as Magic fans, you know, are kind of panicking over, or, you know, maybe panicking or concerned about the way things went in game 1, every single other game except for those 2 I mentioned had the same issues, you know, were relative blowouts. And that, you know, again, Orlando lost by 14, but I felt like it was a much closer game than that for the majority of the game, or the way that it played after that first quarter. So it's, you know, these are series. Like you said, these are series. There are more games to come. Everyone's going to make their adjustments. Teams are going to feel a little bit more pressure, get their backs against the wall, but the home teams are supposed to take care of their business. It's a reason why they're upsets when you win on the road. The Magic are going to try and figure out a way to win on the road. They got to figure out one road win. But, you know, as they always say, a series doesn't start till the road team wins. So we'll see whether it starts tonight.
This guy does a great job with Orlando Magic Daily. He is Phil Rosenreich. Follow both of those people, entity and person, on the X Twitter. It's a must if you're a Magic fan. Philip, thanks for your help, and good luck tonight with your coverage.
Appreciate it, Mark. Talk to you later.